Well, praise God. Amen. Awesome song. Get your Bibles out. All y'all can do better than that. Get your Bibles out. And go, if you would, to Psalms 146 this morning. That's where I believe we'll start. Woke up early this morning, earlier than I wanted to, and the Lord kind of rousted me out of bed and changed the message here. This morning, I believe this message is going to speak directly to somebody's heart and going to bless you today. But before we do that, I want to get all the workers, the volunteers are going to be here, the warriors are going to be working this week for Vacation Bible School. I want y'all to come up front here, please. Come on, everybody, come on down. Oh, man, look at this. Now, yeah, y'all can scoot on down, whatever. I tell y'all, listen, I love children. And, you know, some of you that know me, I never was real involved with, I mean, I raised my children, and, you know, I was glad to get that over with. And then, then I had a grandchild, and then that really, my eyes were open, and God just really started working in my heart about children and rescuing children and taking the water hole and going and trying to rescue as many little children as we can all over the world. But, you know, I just believe that children are sponges, and they're just looking for a place for God to deposit something in. And through life, y'all all know this, through life, maybe sometimes you said, I wish somebody would have put more in me. And then you got. And what I want just us as a church to be believing is, look, it's not about trying to get people to come to Living Water Church. It's about trying to get children to know Jesus so that in their days ahead that they have something to come back on and fall back on and have a word sown into them. And I want to believe, when I ask y'all to be praying this week and just be standing and agreeing with these workers that God is going to reach children and deposit in them somehow, whether it's through the skit or through the song or through the cookies. I don't care how it is. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, you know. I mean, you know, I don't know what. And somebody was telling me the other day, said, well, you know, I hope everything goes okay. We don't, you know, stain the carpet. And I said, listen, I'll replace all the carpet for one soul. Right? I don't care about that. I mean, people, we got to, you know, churches have got to change their mentality. I don't care if they tear the building down. We'll rebuild the building if somebody gets saved, because that's talking about an eternal destiny of a child's life. Amen? So we want to pray. And so I want y'all to all stretch your hands out over here, and we're going to pray for these workers. Father, I just declare right now in Jesus' name that over every one of these workers, Lord, we set our agreement with them today. That, Father, this week, that as Vacation Bible School goes off, Lord, as this Wildwood Forest goes off, as the kids come, Lord, there's going to be events. There's going to be divine encounters. There's going to be things that happen in these young people's lives where, Lord, that they so truly know you, so truly come aware of you, so truly just their eyes to be open and their hearts to be open, that there's a deposit of you in them. And Lord, I pray over every one of these workers that, Lord, that they are sensitive to the things of God. And whether they even realize it or not, Lord, that you use each and every one of them, because today we make our hearts open to you, Lord, to just do whatever you want through us. And so whatever's going to be spoken, the cookies that'll be served, the whatever that takes place, God, I just thank you for touching children's lives. And Lord, we pray right now that all over this area, Lord, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, that you bring in children, Lord. You call them in. You get parents that wake up and get their kids here, Lord God. You get friends to go invite them and bring them here. But right now, there's just a powerful, powerful, powerful anointing release in this area that people are hungry to come to VBS, Lord God, and hungry to come to hear about you. Lord, and I don't care if there's even a mother somewhere sitting there saying, thank God I can get rid of my kids from 9 through 12. Lord, I can just get rid of them. Lord, then we want them, because then there'll be a deposit made. So, Lord, bring them. Bring them all on, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Now, y'all be praying for them this week. So about 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord starts speaking to me about this message and about freedom and about walking in freedom. And it says right here in Psalms 146, verse 5, it says, happy is he who has God, who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Look over now in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Jesus' first message came about here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Said he opened the book of Isaiah, verse 17. Says he opened the book of Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. When Jesus came on this earth, he came about to bring freedom. He came about to bring freedom to each and every person on this earth, no matter how ugly they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what color they are, no matter what language they speak, no matter where they live, no whether they're rich or poor. Jesus came on this earth to set all men free from the bondage of sin so that we could have freedom. Everybody say freedom. He went on and throughout all of the Jesus' message, he talked over John 8:32. He said, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus talked about freedom all the time. He was always talking about freedom, but sometimes we get it mixed up, because you see, in the day that Jesus was talking about freedom and about being free, there were slaves there. Okay? In the land of Israel, there were slaves. There were people that were sold in servitude to other people. And they were slaves. They were bound to them. So when Jesus is saying free, in their minds, they immediately thought freedom from the oppression of the Romans, freedom from their master who was, they owed their life to, or they were sold to. Now, I speak freedom to y'all, and we don't think about that. We don't think, because we've never been slaves. Right? So our mind didn't think about it. I can't imagine. You say, well, you don't understand. I'm a slave to my boss. Well, you could quit. Right? Well, there's no other place I got to work from. No, there's always another place. There's always another town. There's always another. Yeah, you're free. You can do what you want to. We don't know what it's like to live under bondage until, you know, you've ever been in it. Now, my closest of understanding of any of this is my days in the early 90s traveling throughout the former Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc countries. And you see what those people are living, where you had no choice. There was nothing to choose from. You didn't get your selection of the things that we have today, these great freedoms we have to just make choices, everything. You didn't have that that opportunity. Okay? So in a sense, you may not have been owed to anybody, but you couldn't do anything, because the place where you lived, there was only what you only got what was dealt out, and that was it. So you were in bondage. But Jesus always talked about freedom. He talked about being set free. And today, all of us can sit here and we say, I'm not in servitude to any man. But let me ask you something. Are you in bondage in anywhere in your life? Is any place of your life there that you know today? I'm not looking for hands raised and don't need to shake your head or whatever. I'm just telling you this. I'm asking you this. Is there any place in your life that you know you're in bondage to? That you got something that's ruling over your life, whether it's anger, whether it's a bad attitude, whether it's jealousy, whether it's the fear of money. You know, we think sometimes bondages have to be bad things. You got to be a drug addict strung out on drugs. But let me tell you something. Bondage can be that you don't trust people. It can be a bondage. Y'all all just looking at me like, I don't know better. Yeah, yeah. Listen, whether we realize it or not, Texas is called the Lone Star State because we're all loners. And we pretty much feel like we don't need anybody else's help. If you want to come over and eat some ice cream with us, it's okay. But most of us are pretty standoffish, and we figure we can handle it all on our own. And we think that's a strength. But if you're going to fight an army of 10,000 as only one of you, you would like to have somebody else on your side helping you. There's times in life, no matter how strong you are, no matter how tough you are, you still have to have help. The Bible says if you two of us come into agreement upon anything, God will do it. Well, you've at least got to have one more person. You can't be in agreement with yourself. Well, I'm just going to be in agreement with God. Well, but God said get in agreement with somebody else. So you've got to have people. And so that's that's a weakness, not a strength. Oh, it's good to be strong. It's good to be determined. It's good to have all those. Those are good qualities. But when it comes to the place where you're going to stand all alone, you don't need anybody else. Well, I'll tell you something, you're in trouble because you do need people. Okay? But the bondage that I want to talk to you about this morning is the bondage of the things that are within our hearts and our lives that you know about that nobody else does. Your fears, your insecurities. The bondage that keeps you from really being who God created you to be because you're not going to make yourself vulnerable. It's kind of like me. I don't know if it's bondage or not, but I'd stand in my blue jeans and boots and a long sleeve shirt and sweat before I would feel comfortable going out in public in a pair of shorts and flip-flops. Those of you that feel the same way I do, you would just say, oh, hey, I know exactly what you're talking about, brother. And those of you that don't say, well, Pastor, you're ridiculous. I grew up as a kid, I saw my father water ski in blue jeans. Hey, Mom, is that true? That's the truth. I never, ever saw my father in a pair of shorts. May catch him in his underwear, but never saw him in a pair of shorts. So inside of me, I have a mindset. And I don't think there's anything about anybody else. I always figure I want to have a flat tire, and what am I going to do then? So anyway, I don't know. I'm just talking things that are bondages, things that keep you from being, yeah, who you really are, who God created you to be. Like my wife is always getting me on my social skills. And so the other day we were out riding the Harley and this guy comes walking up to me. I almost thought there was something wrong with him. He comes walking right up to me and says, hey, I was just wondering about some, you know, where's a good road to go on over here that, you know, that's pretty and all. And so I started giving this guy direction, talking, well, you can go down here, go over here. Turn, turn. So I had this, you know, long conversation with this guy. And I sat back down on the motorcycle, got ready to leave. And I looked at my wife and says, hey, I did pretty good, didn't I? She's like, what's wrong with you today? I said, oh, I'm just free. I'm out here, you know, free. Point is, folks, listen to me. A lot of times in our marriages, a lot of times in our just relations, there's all kinds of things that are wrong on the inside of us. And whether you realize it or not, you're in bondage and you need freedom. And that's what this message is about. But let me read something to you because it's the 5th of July, the day after the 4th. Let me get this where I can read it. These are the times that try men's souls. the summer soldier and the sunrise patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, will not easily be conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is the dearness only that gives us everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods. And it would be a strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Britain, with an army to enforce her tyranny, has declared that she has the right not only to tax, but to bind us in all cases whatsoever. And if being bound in that manner, it is not slavery, then there is not such a thing as slavery upon this earth. Even the expression is impious, for so unlimited a power can only be given by God. It was written December the 23rd of 1776 by Thomas Paine. And I was reading that and thinking about freedom, and I thought about this statement he made in here, where he says that there's a price to pay for freedom. And I want you to know that Jesus came to this earth and he paid the great price for all of us to have the ability. Now listen to me. A lot of people get this wrong. They think that Jesus came to the cross and paid the price so everything's okay and you don't have to do anything. No. Jesus came to earth. He paid the price. He shed his blood for the sins of humanity so that the blood of Jesus could lay out upon the mercy seat of heaven. And when God looked down at humanity, he would see the mercy through Jesus. But each and every one of us, every man, woman, child upon the face of this earth, has to come to a point in their life that they look at Jesus Christ as their Savior and accept him as their Savior, call upon him as their Savior, invite him into their life as their Savior, and then all of heaven is open to them. And then they start the course of life to gain freedom. Let me ask you something. Let's get down to something we can all understand. Anybody in here, have you ever tried to mess with that black tar like you put around water troughs or something? Anyway, lift your hands if you've ever tried to mess with black tar. Okay? Now, how many of you at the onset of dealing with the black tar, you had determined you were going to do the best to not get it on you? And I don't know. I'd question you were lying to me this morning, because I don't think any of us ever accomplished that, no matter what. There's been times I thought I had victory. There's been times I thought I had succeeded, only to find a spot on my elbow that I didn't know about, that then eventually got all over my truck and over everything else before I found it to get it wiped off. Am I right? It has the ability in that can once it's opened. To be loosed like a demon force. Getting around wherever it would be to hide and get on you somehow. Amen? Preaching good. So it is with the things of sin. Each and every one of us, when opening the can, right? When we know that we ought to forgive, but we don't. When we hold that person in bondage and in judgment against whatever's going on, we hold it. We've opened the lid on the black tar. Now, once the lid's open, once the seal's broken, whoo, it's loosed to move freely around wherever. And what we don't understand is you got to get some gas to get it cleaned off. That's what I'm preaching. The freedom that Jesus gives each and every one of us, that when we can't get it off. Because I don't know about y'all, but if you put gasoline on a blue shop towel and then you go to wipe it off right there, it just smears it around everywhere. And then you got it everywhere. And then you throw the towel down, you forget, now it's over there. And then it follows you. The towel follows you. It has the ability to get you've not gotten rid of it. You've just loosed it into other places. It is like been thinned and now it's waiting. You may forget about it. And then one day you come back across that towel. You didn't know. It's still there. It never dries. It's still waiting to get on you. You may just not even be thinking about it. And you missed it. You stepped on it in your boot. You've got it on the bottom of your boot. And you didn't even know it. Then you tracked it in the house. Now it's gone in the house. Now it's loosed in there. Now the wife sees it. Then she tries to rub it up. And then it's gotten more. See, folks, you can't get rid of it. It takes the power of God to come in there. To literally eradicate that problem. To truly give you freedom from it. Because you may think you're free. But just because you can't see it, that tar is still around somewhere. It's waiting for the opportune moment to jump on you again. It's the way it is with sin. It's the way it is with sin. And it doesn't come with a cheap price. Now listen, I wrote down some of these things. Facts about freedom. Freedom doesn't come easy. Freedom has a high price. It takes a sacrifice. It's not ordinary or common. It's precious. Freedom only comes through the blood of martyrs. And it must be fought for. Freedom doesn't come easy. We Christians have lived in such freedom for so long that we have gotten into where in life we want a drive-through window answer for everything. And we have forgotten, excuse me, but we've forgotten some of the old Pentecostal ways of tarrying all night until you get your answer. Instead of and spending time on our face and on our knees praying. We've forgotten. You see, if you would have been living in London in World War II and you knew every night bombers were coming over and they were dropping bombs upon your city and that you could just be killed as an innocent. You're not even in the war. You're not even fighting. You're just a person living in a house that your home's going to get bombed or could get bombed. And you're just trying to get to your bomb shelter. And every night you knew that was coming. Well, the seriousness of life and the seriousness of prayer would be fresh on your lips. But when everything's going good and everything's going great and life's great and everything's easy, we start to get laxed in life. And when we start to get laxed in life in our Christian walk, what happens is you start giving up freedoms whether you realize it or not. And the scary thing is when you give up freedoms a little bit at a time, then all of a sudden when the war starts or something comes up, and you turn back for your strength, you don't have it anymore. It's gone. I could take this message right now and stop and just start preaching about what's happening in America today. I'm telling you, all the freedoms that we have in America are slowly being eroded. Right now. And if people don't stand up and we don't start to do something and say something and get involved in whatever we possibly can, whether it's the Phineas Project or whatever we're doing to get things going, I'm telling you what, folks, you're going to turn to the strength of your country and it's not going to be there anymore because there's going to be no freedoms. But first and foremost today, I'm talking about what's in your heart so that when a crisis comes in your life, you need to be free to attack that situation and to walk in that situation so that you can gain victory. You don't want to be weak. You don't want to be have prepared for war. You and I'm not advocating, this doesn't have anything, whoever listens on the radio, don't get crazy. You went out and bought a gun, and you went out and bought shells, and then you forgot about it, and you know, nothing happened, and you didn't have anything to do, and then all of a sudden, the war started, and you didn't remember where you put your shells? What good's your gun? What I'm saying in your Christian walk is, when a crisis comes and you turn to Jesus, but you've forgotten how to pray, you've forgotten what the Bible says, you've forgotten what the promises are, you can't remember. What was that scripture? What was that scripture? You're looking at your wife saying, I don't know, what was the scripture? I know Jesus said something, we got to do something. You know, it's too late. Today is a day and time to stay sharp. As a Christian, not to give up any fruits, not to get hooked in the tar that the enemy would set out for us, not to get caught in his traps, not to get caught in those things. It's a time to examine our hearts and examine our lives, and we're having communion today. So it's a good time to start today examining our hearts and lives and saying, Lord, am I giving up my freedoms anywhere? Am I compromising my faith and my walk with Jesus in any way so that if a trial comes to my doorstep, I am as equipped as I possibly can to fight that trial? And if the answer that comes back to you is by the Spirit, no, you've compromised in some life. You let yourself get in some bondage, and then it's time to get free. It's time to get the tar cleaned up. It's time to get out. Because freedom, I want to tell you, though, it's not going to come easy. It's going to have a high price. It's going to cause you to sacrifice. But it is a precious thing, but it's going to come by the blood of martyrs. But it has to be fought for. What's good about freedom? What's the benefits of freedom? Well, then it gives you the right to choose. It gives you new beginnings. It gives you personal rights, and it gives you self-worth. Look, let me tell you something. I don't like. I said I'm going to get in trouble on this one. I will edit it. I don't like Coke. And if I don't want to drink Coke, I ain't going to drink Coke. If I have a choice, I'll drink a Dr. Pepper. Don't even really like them. I really just want a bottle of water. But wow, isn't it amazing? You can go down to the store nowadays and you can get everything. Now, have you noticed that used to just be a bottle of water in there? Now you got to watch getting a bottle of water because you don't know that it's even a bottle of water. Right? You just went up there and you just got your bottle of water, right? But now you might have come back and got something that has something in it and it's not even really water. Right? It's all advertised. It looks the same. It's all hiding under here. Wow, we get to choose. Right? We get to choose. Now, I've got three simple things, and we're going to take up communion. Three simple keys to walking in freedom. Go to Ephesians chapter 10. I'll give you the first one. Ephesians chapter. Go to Ephesians 10 if you can find it. Chapter 6, verse 10. If y'all have Ephesians 10, tell me. I want to know. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The tar in the can. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. The first key to walk in freedom is you have to say no. Major revelation. When the temptations come your way in life, you have to have a vision for what you want to be in life. Proverbs says that a person has no vision, right? They're going to perish. You got to have a vision for what you want to be. In other words, do you want to be a person of honesty and integrity? Do you want to be a person of character? Do you want to be a person that's known for their good name? Well, listen to me. When the temptations of life are dangled in front of your face, you have to have the ability, the wherewithal within you, the decision to say no.
Because if you don't make a determination in your life to stand, you're going to run or you're going to move. You're going to be like the wind or the waves of the sea. You're just going to be tossed back and forth. One day, yeah, I think that's right. Next day, no, that's right. There's things in my life, listen to me. If you want to go talk about the end times and you want to come up with some great big theory and theology about the end times and all, that's the one area of my life I kind of have open to a few suggestions. Maybe it'll go this way. Maybe it'll go that way. Not real sure. You might could show me something. I'd say, man, I don't know. You know, I'll pray about it. I got some things that are just, I don't know. I mean, the Bible kind of has some gray areas there. But there's other areas of the life in my life of what the Word of God says that there ain't no way in the world you're going to get me. You come up with every book, everything. Well, you're not going to change me. I know what the Word of God says. I know what it says. It's down in my heart. I've seen it. You know, there's no changing. So anything that's a temptation, anything that's, I said, no. I'm not going down that road. That road's going to lead to destruction. Okay? So the first thing you got to do is stand. Now, there's an interesting story. I'll just tell you the story, and you can write it down. You can go read it later. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 is a story of a man named Shammah. He's one of David's mighty men. And the Bible says that Shammah one day had all he could stand of the Philistines pushing him around in life. And so he went out in the middle of a bean patch, a lentil field, and he stood there, and he drew his sword, and he said, that's it. Today I'm making a stand. This is as far as I'm going. And the Philistines were way outnumbered. They, no way he could win in the natural. But he stood up there, he took his sword out, and he said, I've just had enough. I'm going to fight. I'm not going on. You're not taking my patch of beans. And folks, listen to me. You've got to get that determination in life no matter what the enemy is throwing at you, no matter what is coming down the road at you, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how much it looks like you are outnumbered, outgunned, outsmarted, whatever, you're not going to make it no matter how much. There comes a time and place where you have to stop and say, God, I've had enough. I'm going to stand here and fight. I've chose today, I'm standing on this bean patch, and I'm fighting for this bean patch. And the Bible says that God saw this, and so he brought a great victory to Shammah that day. Now, that makes me think in my mind that God didn't have it planned out that way. Like, he's just looking, and all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute, what's this fool doing? He's going to fight right there? All right, I want to support him. I'm going to send the power. I'm going to send the strength. I'm going to give you the support. You see, you got to know where you're going to fight from, the position you're going to fight from. When you make that stand and you're standing upon what you know to be true. And saying, this is it. I'm right here. I ain't moving. And it seems to me that the world today, America especially, is so blasted wishy-washy that any kind of hoopla they throw out in front of the world, they say, oh, okay. Let me throw this one out to you. Oh, probably going to get in trouble here. Yeah, y'all say that. Y'all are all sitting out there. Okay, let me just state it. Send me a letter after church is over. Please don't get mad and throw anything at me and walk out the door. I don't believe in global warming. Okay? Now, I do believe that we need to take care of the resources that we have. I do believe it's wrong to just throw trash everywhere. I do believe it's wrong for just to pump out emissions that are not good and pollute our cities and stuff like that. I mean, if you've ever been to Mexico City, you know it isn't right. Okay, I'm not talking about having clean air. I'm not talking about having a reason. I'm not talking about, taking care of our sewer systems and our dumps. I mean, I understand all that. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about what man is doing at this point right now, changing and affecting what's happening of the temperature on the earth today. There's not enough data to prove that. Besides that, now they just came out and said that for the next 10 years, the earth is actually going to begin to start a cooling effect. Yeah, it isn't now, apparently, in Texas. But I mean, I could almost go with global warming a few more days like this, I guess. Maybe I'd change my mind. But no. Anyway, what I'm saying is that people tend to just, whatever comes across the news, whatever goes out there, everybody just jumps all on board with that without researching it and really looking at what is the truth. Y'all with me? And what's scary about that is no one has made a stand and said, no. We want what's best for everyone. No. Listen to me. I already crossed the line, so let me just go a little more. We're going to have communion in a minute, and I can get all back right. Look, I don't want America to be like Europe. In case anybody has looked at history in the past, they don't like us. All of us are made up of what they rejected in their countries and came over here, and they don't like us. Why do I want to be like them? If you've ever traveled throughout Europe, they're ugly. They're mean. They smell bad. Let it go over the radio. Send it over there to Europe. Let them hear it. The cowboy from Texas has spoken. All I'm saying is that I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be a world government. I don't want to be. I want to be America. I want to be who we are, what God created us to be. Not bound by something else to conform to that image. Listen, folks, that's what the devil also wants to do to you, to get you to conform to his image and his things so that you're not having freedom to go be who God really called you to be. It's a perfect illustration from both standpoints, what's taking place physically in America today and what's spiritually taking place also. So Christians become wishy-washy in what they're believing. And so then there's no stand. Folks, you've got to make a stand. If you don't make a stand in your life, the devil and everything else in the world and the situation will just keep pushing you over to the side. But the moment you draw your sword and say, no, wait a minute. I'm fighting for this. I believe that God is a healer. I believe God is a financial provider. I believe God, and in him I trust, and that my faith is in him, and that he's going to see me through the end. I believe that, you see, in you, I believe that raising my kids and disciplining my kids is a godly thing. And you're standing there with your sword fought and say, look, this is what I believe. Now listen to me. It's America. You got freedom. You don't want to believe that? Fine and dandy. You want to get your own set of beliefs? Fine and dandy. All I say is when it's all said and done, look around and see who's still standing. And you do not want to pattern your life after something that doesn't work for other people. Hello? It's the fourth, fifth. Why do we want to be like California? Why do they want to put the same rules and restrictions on California emissions and California everything else that's going on? California, California, California. We don't like them. Why do they want to put all that on us? It ain't work. They're broke. They got to borrow money from us. It ain't right. Could somebody get some sense? Don't pattern your Christian walk after somebody than something that doesn't work. Brother Ivan told me this story about this church and the pastor. He started being a bodybuilder. And so, he got to looking pretty good, pretty buff. And so then a few more men, you know, the other young men, they're all working out. And so they're just, everything goes, whoa. And so everybody's, so next thing you know, all the guys are all wearing that body armor shirts, all skin tight, and like, oh yeah, I'm looking good. And since, you know, he started going back, and he was preaching this place, and he kept noticing, it just kept getting like an epidemic. He said, man, it's like all the guys, and everybody's just like, you know, everybody's like, whoa, just on a health care, everybody's like, ah, you know. And so, you know, he's mentioned it to the pastor, said, you know, you sure you're, I mean, you know, you just, you praying about all this is all good. You know what I mean? It's kind of getting kind of strange around your church, you know? Oh, everything's great. You know, well, then the next thing started happening. Then, wow, they started having this major problem with everybody having an affair. And then, so the whole church started crumbling and fell to pieces and was destroyed. Now, that doesn't, I guess that doesn't mean that every person who's working out is going to, you know, is a bad person. I'm just saying, things out of control don't work. Why pattern your life after something that doesn't work? If you're going to be a, you're going to stand, take a stand. You got Shama that said, here's it, I take a stand. Take a stand, but take a stand based upon something that's righteous. Second one, let me get on. Holy mackerel. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Lord, let the communion be really good today. Matthew chapter 12. Come on. Where's Matthew chapter 12? It's Mark chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. The second key to walking in freedom in your life is found in verse 25. It says, but Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. The second key to walking in freedom in your life, listen to me, is you have to line your will up with God's will. Because if you and God are in line, you're going to have victory. But if your house is divided, it will not stand. So if you're in disagreement with even in your own self, and there's a wrestle back and forth to you, because your flesh is going to want the easy road. All right. Your flesh is always going to want the easy road. So you have to line your will up. That ability on the inside of you to make a choice, that freedom on the inside of you to make a choice, you have to line that will up with God's will. And then your house will stand because it's not divided. Listen, husbands and wives, the greatest thing you can ever learn about marriage is that you have to come to a place of agreement. If both of you have to compromise to get to the middle, then compromise, but you've got to get into agreement, because you're not going to have any success if there's no agreement in your household. If you're not in agreement the way you're going to raise your children, your kids are going to find that out in a second and turn it on you and destroy you. Look at the person beside you and say, they wouldn't do that. You have got to come into agreement. You've got to find the place of agreement. Okay? Because then the house that's divided is going to fall. But if your house is not divided, it's going to stand. The third thing. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. The third thing. And ladies, why don't y'all go ahead and bring the communion down here, please. The third thing that we've got here that's going to happen in life that you've got to have is a key to walk in freedom. The third thing is found here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you that whosoever says unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things, when you ask, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. The third key to walking in freedom in your life is you have to learn to speak to your mountains. Listen to me, it doesn't do any good to complain about your mountains. Look at the person beside you and say, no complaining. Complaining about the mountains is not speaking to the mountains. Complaining about the mountains is complaining. Listen, you can complain about the trial you're faced with all day long. You can sit outside your truck with a flat tire on it and complain about that you got a flat tire all day long, but that ain't going to get that tire fixed. Speaking to the flat tire probably is not going to get it fixed either. You got to speak to the phone and call Monty. But speaking to the mountains in your life, listen to me, church, you have got to learn to speak to the mountains in your life. The minute the Holy Spirit begins to bring things up to you in life and show you things that are going on in your life, you have to learn to speak to it. You have to learn to address it. You have to learn to talk to it. Listen, it's not strange to talk to things because Jesus talked to fig trees. Jesus talked to water. Jesus talked to wind. Jesus spoke to everything. It's nothing crazy about speaking to it, but what you're speaking to it is what God's promise is to you. So when the mountain arises, a mountain of debt that you didn't expect was going to happen pops up in your life as something unexpected, you look at that mountain of debt and you say, now, wait a minute. That's not a God. That's not the way it's supposed to be. God said he wants to prosper me. I'm in covenant with him. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm a blesser. Look, I don't know how it's going to happen, but you're going down. You're not going to come against me. You're not going to destroy me. You're not going to eat me. You're not going to eat my household. You're standing in your bean patch. Say, no, no, no. The word says that God, you said you'd prosper me. He said, given it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give him. So I don't know where it's come from, God, but I declare it to come in right now in Jesus' name. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, it's got to come in. It's got to come into our household. It's got to come in until we're going to get this job done because that's what your word says. I truly believe within my heart that just as God is watching, the devil's watching also. And I truly believe that when he comes to your house and he knocks on your door, if you're going to give him an offering of just some stale bread, he'll keep coming back. But if you open the door, grab hold of him, drag him inside the house, and beat him severely with the word of God, and then open up the door and kick him out, he don't come around so much. I believe they had to draw like lottery tickets down in hell to see who's going to come to your door because they don't nobody want to come. Because they know what's going to happen. The door is going to be open. They're going to be jerked inside, beat up with the word of God, and kicked out. Now, you can say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Okay, stand where you want to. Believe what you want to. But I'm telling you from experience, I know it to be true. And we as Christians have got to live aggressive Christian lives. We as Christians, I believe, also have need to live aggressive Christian lives in America today. The day in 1964 when Roe versus Wade came up, why the nation did not rise up. I was only three. I should have done something. Squirted my milk bottle at the people or whatever. Why they did not rise up that day and go with pitchforks to the courthouse. Why Christians did not rise up and say, if you do it, we're charging the place. We've had enough. We'll not take this. And they let it all get separated. We ended up to where we are today. I don't know what was going on. But I can just about imagine that. I've not researched this, and I may be speaking completely out of turn or out of text here. But I imagine everybody was involved with war and thinking about war and protesting. And it was a good time for the devil to slip something in kind of quiet and kind of under the rug. And it didn't probably, you know, people were more worried about what was going on in Vietnam and the other war protest and this and that and the other and the things that were going on with the anti-right stuff and all that kind of stuff like that. And they just kind of got slipped in, I would bet. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I know one thing. I am going to make a determined bean patch stand that this cowboy ain't going to let nothing get slipped by him on my watch. I'd rather have the police show up and haul me out of here. And I want y'all to know, you might as well hold your ears. Going to be kicking, fighting, screaming, spitting, flying. I am not going peaceably. I mean, they think Reverend Wright's bad by the time I get through. On the flip side, they'll find out something. Because I want to tell you something, church. We've got to make a stand. Got to make a stand in your life. Amen. So put your Bibles up and begin to look and examine your hearts. Can I have my pastoral team come down so I can serve this communion to you and you can help me serve the
the body here this morning.